So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to we're going to talk about Lucifer tonight rebelling against God. And I'm not going to go through all the introduction part because we kind of just covered that a little bit there. But we're going to talk directly about that angels are created beings. And we're going to go back through that again. What were some of the characteristics of when God created angels? Let's list them off. They were spirit beings, right? What else were they created with? Were they dumb? No, they were pretty wise, weren't they? They were created with wisdom. And they were probably the weakest of God's beings, right, that he created. Or were they pretty strong? Or powerful, right? Angels were powerful. But were they as strong and wise as God?
No.
Why not?
Because God's overall.
God's overall. I'm looking for. That's true. But what? Why couldn't angels ever be as strong as God? Because God created them. That's what I was looking for. And God had created them, and because he created them, that means that God is superior in everything. Again, we talked a little bit ago about why God created angels when we reviewed lesson three, when he talked about them, that he created them for the purpose of worshiping and serving him. And remember when we went back and God talked to him, that we talked about Lucifer. If you have your Bibles and you turn to Ezekiel 28, that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time tonight. And I'm going to just read you what Ezekiel, the writer, writes about Lucifer here, or in other words, Satan. And he says this: "You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you." So you were created perfect. So Lucifer was a perfect being. He was beautiful. And what else did God do about Lucifer? We talked a little bit about this when we went through it. I put the answer up there on the thing for you already. But what does it mean to be the anointed cherub?
He was basically God's right hand.
He was God's right hand. That means he was the closest thing to being next to God, right?
He was beautiful.
He what?
He was beautiful.
He was beautiful, yeah. And what else do you know about Lucifer's? When you're next to God, what are you going to be given?
Authority.
Authority, right? You're given authority and power over everything that God created, or was he given? He was given a specific role. He was in charge of something. Yes, he was in charge of the angels. So he was given authority and power over other angels. So when Lucifer rebelled against God, and we haven't talked about that, we're getting ready to read this. Somebody want to read 13 through 15?
"You had a wonderful life, as if you were in the garden of God. Every valuable gem was on you. Ruby, topaz, and emerald. Yellow quartz, onyx, and jasper. Sapphire, turquoise, chrysolite. Your jewelry was made of gold. It was separated on the day you were created. I appointed a living creature to guard it. I put you on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the gems that shine like fire. Your life was right and good from the day you were created until evil was found in you."
So it says that until evil was found in you. Think about this. I posted on the Facebook page a couple pictures of what our culture today does with the devil, or the little pictures of the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. How many of you saw that, right? Okay. That's not a description here or a picture of what we see and what we read about Lucifer. What does it say Lucifer looked like? Anybody ever decide to look up gems online and see what gems look like, or go to the jewelry store and look in the and walk through the jewelry store and see if you've ever seen any of these? How many of you have seen a peridot? That's, if you're born in August, that's your birthstone, because that's what I'm born in August, and that's the birthstone for some of the peridot. It's a light green gem. Think about some of these other ones that are in there: onyx, jasper, turquoise, and emerald. Those are not something that I would have associated with Lucifer. In our culture today, when you think of Satan or Lucifer, you think of a image of something that's dark, and that's not how Lucifer was created. He was created beautiful, and God adorned him in all these specific jewels. He was beautiful. I mean, something to look at. I mean, I can imagine when the light hit him, there would have been a shining about him all over. Okay, so here he is. I am not saying that's what he looks like today. I don't know if God stripped him of that or what as we go through here, but this is what he looked like when God created him. So there would have been no reason for Lucifer to rebel against God, right? I mean, you think you're put second in command in heaven, and you're in charge of all the angels, and everybody thinks, why would you think that Lucifer here would have evil found in him? Because it said at the end there that you were created perfect until the day evil was found in you.
God gave him that knowledge of right and wrong?
Did God give him a knowledge of right and wrong? What do you think? Well, you're wise. You're created with wisdom. Let me read Ezekiel 28:17. It says, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." There you go. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. When you read that, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. What stands out to you about that verse?
It says you.
It says you, okay.
Meaning there would have had to been a choice.
It would have been a choice?
That he made.
Okay.
He was proud of himself.
He was proud of himself. Okay. Yeah, your heart was lifted up. So imagine another translation or might put in there, your heart was prideful, or your heart became full of pride. Why do you think Lucifer became proud?
Because he was different from the rest.
Oh, he was different from the rest? Yeah. Adorned in all the jewels.
So was Lucifer the only one that had all
of
that?
It's a very good question. We see that here where he's talked about here in the scripture here about that, but do you think God would have created the other angels with the same amount of...
No.
Okay. What else does this tell you about Lucifer in that verse?
He corrupted his wisdom.
So he had a choice. I think we had a question before, did angels have free will? I think that was, Kevin, you might have asked that question quite a while back when we went to the first lesson. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you, did they have a choice? They had a choice,
right? Would that imply that every angel that's within heaven right now has that same choice and could possibly fall the same way you have?
I don't know that God is continually to make angels today. In other words, I don't know that he's continuing to create them.
That
exist in there now.
Would that be the same?
Can you hold that thought for a minute? We'll come back to that question. Because at the end here, we're going to see what God did with those who chose to follow Lucifer. And it may answer that question. You got a question?
Well, I was just going to say, if Lucifer, you know,
you came this way, then I would think God wouldn't adorn another angel with such authority.
Okay.
For the purpose of maybe that's
okay, yeah, because maybe because it could happen again. One of the comments in here in the lesson that as I was going through, it says the act of Lucifer's rebellion was because of his choice. It was his choice or his will. He exercised his will. So in other words, he made a conscious choice to say, I'm going to oppose God. And when you think about opposing God today in our own life, I want you to remember this verse. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Because as we get into next week's lesson, and we see what happens here after this lesson, and each of us today, even to this day, there's a key in this verse that whenever we go through something in life where we tend to do something wrong, it is a result of that single action that Lucifer chose to do. And we'll come back to that. Lucifer wanted to be like God. So he saw that God there, he saw that God had created him, but the reason Lucifer could never attain to God because he was a created being. But this was something he was aspiring to. He was doing that. I'm going to jump over to Isaiah. Someone want to grab Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. And we're going to read those verses, and then we'll look at some of these things.
How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregations on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet shall be drowned down to the Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit.
Okay. What did you hear in those verses?
Basically, how could he have done what he did?
That he was higher than God. He was going to raise his power higher than God's.
Okay. He said, I will ascend.
Yes.
So I'm going to go move myself into God's throne. I'm going to go move myself into God's place. What else did he say? I will what?
I will be like God.
Okay.
Above God.
I will be above God. I will exalt myself to God's position of authority, or I'm using those words. He also said, I will stand next to God.
Put his throne
above. I'm going to sit in it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go and sit in God's throne. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to be just like him.
But he didn't actually say that out loud. He actually said that within himself.
In
his heart. Thinking it.
You said what?
Maybe he's talking to the angels. That's going to fall on him.
He could have been talking to the angels, but I think there's a key. Where did he say that in the verse before? And the verse we read before that, if I go back one. Describing what Lucifer did. Where did he say that? Yeah, I'm looking at the second word there, his heart. And when he says that, I will, he made a choice, a conscious choice. Where do we don't go around, when you do something that's wrong, and you know it's wrong, do you go around and broadcast it to someone, well, I'm going to go do this? I don't think my kids, when they do something wrong, they don't come up and, Dad, I'm going to go. Now, they may do that after I told them, no, don't go do that, and they blatantly choose to, no, I'm not doing that. But most of the time when they do something wrong, they make a choice in here. I'm going to do this. I do that. But I don't broadcast it to everybody around that I'm doing it. And so there's a heart issue. So here we have Lucifer as the first person, or not the first person, the first being, created being by God, doing evil. Thus, when we talk about what God said to Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree, we oftentimes think of that's when the first time that sin entered the world. Is that a true or false statement? I'm kind of playing a short line here.
Hmm. Are you implying that when evil was in Lucifer's heart, that would have been the first time it existed? Or are you being a literal on earth thing?
Yes. So we know this is the first time when sin entered, or evil was committed, and so there was sin. During this time, we also know that other angels followed Lucifer. Matthew 25:41 talks about the devil and his angels. So we know that Lucifer, devil, Satan, those are referred to. Demons are referred to as followers of Lucifer. So that's, but here you got this evil presence now that takes place because Lucifer makes this thing. So in my mind, when I picture heaven, I picture this beautiful place that God's created, and everything is perfect there. Everything is perfect here on the earth that he's created, because we know, because God said, and it was good. And yet you have this being, Lucifer, God's right-hand angel there to carry out his commands and to make sure things happen, and evil enters heaven. For the first time in all of creation, you now have evil.
Does that mean that there is evil in heaven? If heaven's perfect.
It's very good. That's a very good question. Let's move a little bit further. I don't know what that does to you when you think about that, but
Like in Isaiah 12, it says, "You once who laid low the nations." So, nations of what?
You're in Isaiah 12?
Yes.
That's back a couple chapters.
How you fallen from heaven, morning star, son of David, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations.
Oh, okay. I didn't turn over there. Let me quickly turn to Isaiah.
I mean, this could be a play. In different texts.
No, let me flip there. It could be. You have to understand the writer of Isaiah and them would have been, God would have been showing them a vision or relaying to them these words to write. How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. I think this is, when you're referring to this, I don't know that this is destroyed. Satan hadn't destroyed the nations of the world yet, because there wouldn't have been any nations at that time. However, if you look back over history from where we're at, you can see what Satan has done.
Oh, yes.
So, yes, and even at this point when Isaiah wrote this, you could see that back. I don't know, Lynn, if that question's been asked in class before or not, but
I think what you're saying is Isaiah is a prophet, and so he is writing down things that he never personally experienced but are being told to him. So there is a to take this and say this happened, he's writing in chronological order. Mm-hmm. May not be assumption there. I think this text in Isaiah, one of the driving points, and you alluded to it, Matt, was that what happened to Lucifer happened in his heart. It was something that changed within him. Now, heart is a relative term. We're not talking about a physical beating heart. We're talking about
the spirit.
We understand what when we say our heart. But when you look at that, what changed in his heart was an attitude of two words. I will. I will. I will. And versus what he was created to do, which was to serve God. And so there's a distinct change that's happening here. And that, if you fast forward even to, as you go through this lesson, you will see that God is more concerned about people's hearts than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's after. Where is the heart?
His will.
And honestly, I've taught this class many, many times, and I've never pulled that parallel out. Tonight's the first time that I'm really seeing that as Lucifer, it happened in the heart. It's very, very significant.
Following his will.
It's a very, very significant thought in my mind, or truth. Yeah. What are you saying?
Well, we have that part when we're there, and can it change the same way that we did, even though he's angry, and we don't have to do so.
Go ahead. But you're going to say something?
I'm going to say you're asking a question that I don't know we can answer right now.
Yeah, because
I'd love to talk to you after class about it. Because I got some thoughts, but I wouldn't say that it's a... Yeah.
You're asking John what would put what in his heart?
The whole rebellion.
The whole rebellion thing?
God, where would that come from? How would he know that?
Or what prompted it to happen?
Huh?
Or what prompted it to happen?
What prompted it to happen? These are very good questions.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think we're too quick to blame our misdoings, or the things we do that we know are wrong and sinful, because we think Satan enticed us to do these things, when really it's our heart choice, our decision to do these things. And I think that's what Lucifer had. He didn't need somebody to prompt him to do wrong. He had that ability to make that choice.
I have a dog that loves to chase my Amish neighbors as they walk through our driveway. And if I'm standing right there and telling him, stay, stop it, stop your barking, you stay, stay, he will sit there and his whole body will just shake and quiver, and he will just do everything within him wants to do what he wants to do. But he also wants to obey. Something is he does, you know, so there's this tension.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, this dog can only hold out for so long. And off he's gone, and there's nothing I can do. And I think you say, what put it within Lucifer? I think you have to go back to the way he was created. God created angels, and they had the ability to choose. They had the ability. So it's within their DNA to choose. And I think that is essential when we go into next week's lesson, because we want to blame our failures on somebody and something. And I'm not sure we can.
Well, I think one of the other questions over here was asked that, you know, what made Lucifer, because everything was good, everything was perfect. The question was, how did he know what was evil, what was wrong? And I would answer that and say this, that instilled inside each one of us, just as instilled inside, as human beings, we're created in the image of God. If we're created in the image of God with a mind, will, and emotion, and a choice to make that decision, right or wrong, God knows good and he knew evil. Okay, and he knew that. That's hence he sent them in the Garden of Eden and said, do not eat of this tree. And because we're created in God's image, I believe inside of us is instilled that same right and wrong knowledge.
But they didn't know the difference between right and wrong until they ate of the fruit. The angels, I assume, already knew the difference. So Lucifer already knew what the difference was between right and wrong. But Adam and Eve didn't know the difference. They were just out there, kind of lackadaisical, so to speak. And then Lucifer comes down after he failed, turned against God. And, you know, Adam and Eve don't know the difference. They're just kind of, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. They know they're not supposed to eat the fruit. Well, Satan's kind of like, you know, the fruit's not that bad. And so once they take a bite of the fruit, then they know the difference between right and wrong. Now, since we know the difference between right and wrong, we can be judged because of it.
Okay. You weren't here for the other lessons we talked about, where we talked about the character of God. And so let me ask you a question. Do you think that God would place you somewhere and tell you to take care of something without giving you the knowledge in order to do that?
You don't need to know the difference between right and wrong to take care of the garden.
No, correct. But to know the knowledge of good and evil, they didn't know what evil was like. All they knew is that God said, if you eat of this, you will die. Correct? They didn't know what death was like.
You're getting in the next week lesson.
Yeah, I know that. Well, we covered that last week.
Yeah.
Not last week, the week before, lesson
right.
Six. We talked about that, that Adam and Eve were told not to eat of this tree, and they didn't know what death was like. They didn't experience death. There was no death on the earth. So how can we do that?
At the same time, if you tell your two-year-old not to do something, I mean...
That's now, though.
He knows not to do it, but he doesn't know what the outcome or result is, and he doesn't know why he's not supposed to do it.
Correct.
He knows just don't do it.
So come back next week on next lesson, and we'll see what as a result, what happened. And I think a lot of this will key and hinge on what we just talked about here, the I will and the heart, and hinging back on that. And then I don't know if you've listened to them on the website or not, but if you listen to lesson six, we talked a lot about that in there. And there's a lot of good questions. I just will say this about that God knew all this was taking place right there in heaven. So as Lucifer was saying, I will, in his heart, I will, and I will, God knew that was taking place because God created him. So someone read Isaiah 14:13 again. Okay, for you said to yourself. What does that tell you about who, that God knew that he was saying that in his heart? For you said. That means that nothing we do or nothing that Lucifer is doing there can surprise God. Now I need someone to flip all the way to the New Testament, to Hebrews 4, verse 13.
close his eyes, and he's the one to whom we are accountable.
So nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. Everything is exposed before his eyes. What does that... Let me go back. What do you think God's response was to Satan's ambition to be like him?
Going off of that verse, it would imply that he knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Part.
Yeah. So what do you think God's response was? What do you think God did? You know, he knew this was going on. Did he run right over there to... I can just see God... Again, God's a spirit being as well, but I can see God moving, and he goes right over here to where, as soon as he knew and saw and heard and thought and knew that Lucifer had made those thoughts in his heart, he went right over to Lucifer and said, "Hey, what do you think he did?" Okay.
I don't know if that would have been the case for him, and he would have been given a chance to make himself right, and him just being like, "No, I'm not. I'm going to do what I'll do," and then saying, "No, you're not doing what he did." I don't know, but those are my...
So we do that now with our kids, you're saying, that we give them an opportunity to make it right. Do you think that's what took place? That God went to Lucifer and said, "Hey, I all right, someone go back to Isaiah 14, verse 15.
You are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit.
You were brought down. So what did God do?
He outcast him.
Okay. He brought him down. Why wasn't Lucifer allowed to challenge God? Puts it up here or not. Why wasn't Lucifer allowed to challenge God?
You don't challenge God.
Huh?
I say you don't challenge God.
Okay, so you can't challenge something that made you. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
so Lucifer is a created being. You can't challenge God. Does our world around us today do that?
I think they do.
Okay, yeah. He was a created being. God created him. Should be no reason for him to challenge God. So God took him, and it says that he removed him. That he brought him down to the lowest places of the earth, to the depths of the earth. Earlier we talked a little bit about hell. In one of the earlier lessons, it was brought up. Johnny, I think you were an instigator of those questions. So here's where we are with this. Someone grab Matthew 25:41.
Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels."
Okay. I'm going to focus on the last part of that verse for a minute. What was hell created for?
Lucifer and Satan.
Okay. So the rebellious angels that God kicked out of heaven, God made a place called the Lake of Fire.
So did Lucifer call all the angels together and say, hey, you know, follow me, this is the way to go, and some of them said no, the others said yes, and took sides?
Well, we don't have a picture of what actually took place. Did he get the gavel out and hit the, you know, the side of the throne, or and said, here ye? But we do know that Lucifer was in charge of the angels.
Right.
He was over, he was given authority. The Bible tells us that. He was given authority over all the angels. So he would obviously have had to reveal his plan to them some way or some form, whether he stood there and broadcast it in front of everybody, or he went around secretly and doing that, I don't know. But we do know that Lucifer, or Satan, as we refer to him oftentimes today, is a deceiver. Okay, that's what he does. So I would imagine that he deceived some of those angels, maybe tricked them into thinking that, hey, we will be like God. I don't know. But I don't know how he went about that. The Bible doesn't give us that description. We do know that God said, you know what, you're not going to try this with me, you're gone. And he kicks them out. And then he prepares this place. I want you to remember that hell was never prepared or made for people. It may kind of go against what we've grown up, some of us grew up hearing, talked about, preached about, hey, God never intended for his creation, like us, to be in hell. That was prepared for Satan and his demons, and his angels, his followers.
So then what then allows us to go there, if while creating us, knowing that Lucifer did what he did, we would want to go there anyways?
What allows us to go there? Let me say this, that it is, I can't really say this because we're too much, because next week's lesson we'll find out a little bit more detail to this picture. But God cannot tolerate disobedience.
I mean, in more so as the separation of angels and his creation.
That's a good question. I'm not going to answer that tonight, Kevin. I want you to hold on to that. Write that one down. Because it hinges on the heart. Again, using the heart as in the metaphor of the heart. It goes back to that. God has to, because he's a God that is holy, pure, over all. He created all. He will not tolerate disobedience. God displaying here what he will do in punishment to the angels that followed Satan when he kicked them out of heaven, that he is going to punish those who fight against him. Lucifer and his, Revelation 20 verse 10 says that they will be cast into the lake of fire and will be tormented night, day and night, forever and ever. This brings up that Lucifer and his angels, deep down inside them, began to hate God and mankind who God created. You see, I remember that Lucifer and all his angels, the angels that God created, were all there when God took and created man from the dust of the ground, breathed his very spirit into him, and then took the rib from his side and created Eve. They were there and witnessed that. They didn't have that experience. They didn't have the breath of God in them. They didn't have that. And so they are picturing this. They are seeing this. And they see that every time Satan looks at us, he sees the very image of the Creator. Remember, you and I are his finest creation. We are God's magnum opus, the finest work. And so every time he sees us, he sees the very image of God.
So that would bring him joy when he destroys.
Ah. Well, next week we're going to talk about that. A little bit. So, from the moment that Satan said in his heart, I will go against God, I will take his place, I will ascend to the high, I will sit on his throne. From that moment on, he decided to make, in essence, war with God. From that moment forward, how do we see Satan's work today in that war?
Not at all. Which war?
Making war against God. Declaring war on God, that's what Satan did.
Like what in today?
Yeah, what do you see in today's world that lets you know that Satan is still at work against what God created?
I think it kind of goes back to the lesson when we talked about his plan trying to make imperfection seem perfect.
Mm-hmm, okay. Okay, yeah, you're going down the track where I was at, the question I'm asking. Yeah, so, I mean, do you physically see Satan today?
No. Well, you can
no,
physically,
not physically
see him, you can see his works.
Manifestations.
Okay, well, so we have Lucifer, Satan, his demons. They're kicked out of heaven, okay? Here's what Job says. Going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Now, I'll encourage you to go home tonight and read the first 10 to 15 verses in Job. If you want an assignment, I'll give you an assignment there. And I'm saying that because this is talking at verse 7 in verse chapter 2, but at the very beginning, it gives you a picture of after next week's lesson, I can actually say this, but just read Job. Just read the first book, first chapter of Job, and you will see something. Something will stand out to you in the first few verses there about Satan and what God still allows Satan to do, even to this day. Maybe I better strike that. I don't know if he's still allowed to do it this day, but he did do it after next week's lesson. I do know that.
If people can become possessed, could Satan dwell within an individual during times?
You're asking if a person is that is possessed, is Satan dwelling inside them?
If a person can be possessed with demons,
mm-hmm.
would that then mean Satan?
What do you think?
Satan, he's not like God in the fact that he can be everywhere at once, right? So if he was inside of somebody, that's where he'd have to be. Whereas God can be in everybody.
Is Satan like God?
No.
Why isn't Satan like God?
That kind of leaves me with a question. The blink of an eye to God is so many years, how fast them can see it.
These are good questions. Before we come back to that, Kevin, answer Josh's question here.
What, Satan just being a singularity?
Can Satan be like God all over? Why not? He's
Satan
not sovereign. And what else about Satan?
Satan can send demons, though, but
he's what?
Omnipresent.
He's not omnipresent, or all over. But what do we know about Satan? The key thing about Satan, and we have to remember this.
He was made.
God created him. So he cannot be like God all over. So hence, to go back to Kevin's question, or thing about demons. So when a demon goes into a person, or goes and dwells inside of them, they're not all over. They're not, can't be in here and go over here. Satan can't be that way. And you can see from that verse, what's he doing? He's going back and forth throughout the earth. And another verse here in 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil walks about like a roaring lion. He gives a picture of the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
So he's not all over the place.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be just Lucifer going all over the place.
He's correct.
He's got a bunch of angels that So if they've decided to walk with him, and they've been shunned with him, there's no reason that they have to go together in a group.
No, right.
So, it's the same principle of go forth and spread the word. I'm sure that...
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that kind of goes when it talks about legions. But I also am still curious, can Satan visit you?
Can Satan visit?
Scripture verses answering that question.
Okay.
What's it say?
Walks
everywhere. So yes. Right place, right time.
And to me also, if he appeared as a serpent, could he not then appear as a human that we don't know and never see again?
Well, I can't answer that because that's next week's class. We don't know that he can appear that way. I do know what you're saying, Kevin. And
Scripture also says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. You opened your lesson with the beginning of the lesson. You talked about that our mental picture of what we view, of how we view Satan, is often distorted, because Satan is out to kill and destroy, and that's whatever it takes, he will try.
What's that tell you about that he masquerades or he goes around as an angel of light? What's that tell you about Satan?
He wants to appear attractive. He wants to appear beautiful, good, right.
What's that also tell you about us as human beings that we're vulnerable?
Right.
How do we stay in guard against that?
Being God. Put on the armor of God.
Very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And you'd be thinking about it because so oftentimes, I don't know how much you think about good and evil in our, you can almost look at every movie made. I don't want to say every movie, but you can see this in our society, in our world today, where you have good and you have evil. You have good and you have evil, and it's always present together. And yet sometimes we just live life without any thought to what comes at us, whether it is good or whether it is evil. And how easy it is to see that in those two verses that Satan is going back and forth. And if he's masquerading around like something that is good, how do we know
that it is good.
Bless you. God's manual. Ah, he gave us a.
I was just gonna say, I don't know the specific verse, but I know it talks somewhere about his eyes being like fire and being able to see through things. And I feel like me personally, from my walk through Jesus, he's the revealer of truth also. And if we are genuinely, constantly seeking to know him and asking him to see for us, he'll help that be revealed. Not only within ourselves, but what we deal with as evil desires, endeavors, and sin, but recognize it spiritually within others.
So, we've got to this section, and we've learned about some of the basic three main characters of the Bible. In God's message's story to us, his manual, as you called it, we have the three main characters of this book. And they are who? God,
Satan,
and man. The three main focus of this whole book are those three. And as we go forward from here, you will see, as you keep those three main characters, those three main focus as we go through the Bible, you will see from here on out how Satan wants to continue to disrupt what God intended his creation to be like. Because at this point, the earth is still perfect. There is nothing that God has created that wasn't good. It is perfect. Any final thoughts? I'm going to turn this off now. If there's any